I titled this sermon, From Darkness into Light. From Darkness into Light. And we should understand, and I believe most of you know that, that this world is in complete and utter darkness. It lives in darkness, it works in darkness, and the darkness is increasing continuously to the extent that it rejects what it might have understood at one time, which is the knowledge of God. Just today, I read an extremely stupid article, and it's going to be in the next update, on the Big Bang theory. And now scientists have come up with the idea, well, now what happened before the Big Bang? And I was reading that, and I was shaking my head in utter unbelief. How stupid, how ridiculously foolish the scientists of the world can be. And you will agree with me when you read that article. Because the answer is clear, has been clear from the outset. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what the answer is. All that money which is wasted, all the brilliant people, quote-unquote, who are spending their time, wasting their time on coming up with some kind of stupid idea because they don't agree that there is even a God, it is completely utter foolishness and nonsense. And our children at school are being taught that nonsense. Now, the world lives in utter darkness. The point is we, you and I, are living in this world. But we're not supposed to be part of this world. And nothing can picture that truth better than the fact that we just celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles when we stepped out of the darkness of this world into the light of a glorious future which that feast pictures. And we should have enjoyed that time. And we can visualize, perhaps, how bright that future light shines when we contrast it with the present darkness of this evil, and I mean evil, rotten world. And when we fully understand that blackness, that darkness of the night, then we perhaps can appreciate the brightness of the day even more, that very light which we are able to reflect today. And I mean, we are supposed to reflect it today. And we should celebrate it today. In you and in me, it should be seen. Because when we look around, man has rejected the knowledge about God. And because of that, their foolish hearts, and I mean foolish, have become darkened. And we read that clearly in the book of Romans chapter 1. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1 and let's see what Paul had to say about the great philosophers and scientists and experts of his time. And nothing has changed today. If anything, it got worse. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. But notice how God responds to this. Let's not kid ourselves. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth. I mean, you go to school today if you are kids. You think you are being taught the truth when it comes to spiritual values? No, they suppress the truth. They don't even want to talk about it. It says, because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, you see, God created the world. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Don't give me any excuse. Don't try to excuse yourself, justify yourself when you are living a lifestyle which is against the word of God. There's no excuse. You leave the church, I don't care what reasoning you come up with, there is no excuse. Notice what it says. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, They didn't glorify God. They were not thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, became darker and darker. Political, religious, scientific leaders of this world will not be blessed with any light of true understanding as long as they reject the one true God. What they teach you is complete and utter foolishness. Notice Micah chapter 3, because they themselves are living in foolishness, so they can't tell you anything which is right. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, and notice who this end time prophecy is directed to. That's something we should all understand in God's church. That's one reason why we shouldn't be involved in any politics. Micah 3, verse 1. And I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob. Now, who is Jacob? That is you and me living in this country, the United States of America, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. He is addressing here the leaders of our country. He says, hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones and chop them in pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. And then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time because they have been evil in their deeds. Do we understand this? I dare to say many in the church don't understand this, how God looks at what's happening in our country and in Great Britain and in other English-speaking countries. Goes on to say, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets. Now here comes the religious leadership, who make my people stray, who claim or enchant peace while they chew with their teeth, and who prepare war against him who puts nothing into their mouth. Therefore you shall have night without vision. You shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abased. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. Lots of religious preaching is going on in this country, on television, what have you. Doesn't come from God. Does not come from God at all. But people, and that's the sad part about it, people follow the bad example of their leaders. And so they also all, and so also will all end up in total darkness. Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 8. Romans 11 and verse 8. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. That's prophesied, a prophecy for today. People in the United States of America, the vast majority, are blind, live in darkness, don't see. You walk with them, you follow their footstep, you agree with them, you will be living and walking in darkness too. Man might be looking for light, but due to his sins, he walks in utter darkness and blackness, because that's the crux of the matter. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 9. It says, therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. Well, we look for light, but there is darkness. We look for brightness, but we walk in blackness. You see, Jesus Christ is a true light. And he came into this world, a world of darkness. Notice this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. Matthew 4 and verse 16. So people who sat in darkness saw a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. So Christ came to them. They saw him. They saw that great light. Christ came to bring us, bring those people who are being described here, the light of understanding, to enlighten them with the truth. But did the people accept him? Did they accept that light of understanding? Well, you know the answer. John chapter 1 and verse 1. And as they rejected Christ then, so they are rejecting Christ today. They may call themselves Christians, but with their deeds, they deny him. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, the spokesman, the speaker, Logos, Jesus Christ. So what this is saying is this. Whatever you look at as a beginning, Christ was already there. He was before every beginning. The point is he always existed. So whatever beginning you want to put in here, the Word was already there. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, God the Father. And the Word was God. Jesus Christ was God. Now he became man, fully man, when he came here to this earth, but he was a God being from, there was never a time when there wasn't Jesus Christ and God the Father living together. And verse 2, it says, and he was in the beginning with God. So both the Father and Jesus Christ existed already before you can look at anything which you would look at as a beginning. And verse 3 says, and all things were made through him. So it was Jesus Christ who created the universe. Those foolish scientists who spend all their energy and money on nonsense should read these scriptures. They would stop doing that nonsense they're doing. They would something more productive, perhaps. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was a light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it, did not apprehend it. As other scriptures and translations have it, didn't accept it. The darkness didn't accept the light, didn't want to embrace that light. Why? Why would they reject Christ then and now? The answer is found in John chapter 3 and verse 19. John 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation. God condemns the situation. This is the condemnation that the light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why they loved darkness more than light. They didn't want to give up what they're doing. We just went through this horrible, terrible, damnable, quote-unquote feast of Halloween. Perhaps the most obvious day of Satan. Couldn't think of any day of the year which is more blatantly a day of Satan and of demons than Halloween. And I know this year it seemed to be even worse than before. My wife and I, we were sitting at home having the light out, and it goes on and on and on for hours outside. I was told in Germany, it got even worse. Everybody over there seemed to have dressed up like witches and demons and so on. And then you have Christmas, another terrible demonic day. But people love that. They want to keep that. And that's why they reject Christ, because they don't want to give up their evil deeds. That's how simple it is and how sad it is. Why is it so? Well, simply put, because this world is held captive by Satan. By Satan, the devil, and his demons. And these evil spirits, as we have already heard during the announcements, they are the authors of darkness, because their minds are totally overtaken by darkness, and they are the rulers of the darkness of this world. You see, God isn't ruling this earth. Man is ruling this earth under the inspiration of Satan. That's how God has decreed it, and it will happen until Christ returns, so that man can finally learn his lesson that it doesn't pay to reject God. Notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "For God didn't spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell," Tartarus, which is a condition, "and delivered them into chains of darkness." Their mind is completely darkened. And that's why they want man to have completely darkened minds. "He delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." He says, if he didn't do it with the angels, if he did not spare them, he is not going to spare you and me if we live in the same way of life. Also notice Jude and verse 6. Jude verse 6. "And the angels who didn't keep their proper domain," in other words, they didn't stay here on earth, "but left their own habitation," they wanted to go up to heaven to throw God from his throne, "he has reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness for the judgment of the great day." It's still coming. Those demons will still be judged. In the meantime, they still live here on this earth and do their evil deed. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And we are being warned. We are being warned not to give in. You know, you step into their realm, you will be a hopeless victim. And only with the help of God can you come out of it again. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Paul says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, in high positions." I mean, demons are very, very powerful. Satan is probably one of the most powerful beings in existence. Of course, God is much more powerful than he is. But they are very powerful. They're very sneaky. They're very deceptive. And you're not a match to them. You think you can have fellowship with demons? Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. Why? I mean, of course, there are human reasons. He was a thief. He wanted money. Ultimately, because it was Satan who possessed him. He had given in to Satan's evil devices. God allowed it, we know. But when Judas, when the chief priests, when the captains of the temple, and when the elders acted, they came at night to arrest Christ because they were driven by the power of darkness. Notice what we read in John chapter 13. But the point is, it didn't start that way with Judas. But that's how it ended. In Judas chapter 13, and of course here we have the conversation between Christ and the disciples, and Christ said, okay, somebody's going to betray me. And in verse 27, when they had their last Passover, we read, "Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him," literally possessed him. "And then Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.'" Verse 30. "And having received the piece of bread, He then went out immediately, and it was night. The power of darkness. You could say, maybe a Halloween night, if you want to be that drastic about it. It was night. In John chapter 13 and verse 27, we just read that, Satan entered him. But you see, that wasn't the first time Satan had entered him. If you go back to Luke 22 and verse 3, Satan had entered him before. And then he had left him for a while, and then he returned. But in Luke 22 and verse 3, we read, Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12, and then he went to the high priest and the others to betray him. But notice what happened then in Luke chapter 22 and verse 52 when they finally all arrived, a bunch of murderers, because that's what they were, a bunch of murderers, determined to murder Jesus Christ. Luke 22 and verse 52. And then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs when I was with you daily in the temple? You did not try to seize me, but this is your hour. This is the power of darkness. See, Satan was completely, now totally in control. God allowed it, of course. But that is what happened. And when you have these dark days like Halloween, awful things happen. You probably heard about the shooting on Halloween. Several people got killed. I don't know how many other people got killed on Halloween you didn't hear about. In Germany, right after Halloween, we had to actually get the news right now that the hotel we meet in for the Sabbath, the day before, it had to be vacated. That was on Friday, right after the Halloween night, because bomb threats were made. So it was just a reminder what kind of world we are living in. And the world doesn't really understand the extent of the darkness it is living in. Many might very well have a sense of something being wrong with them, but they don't act upon that understanding. Others may think they are living in the light, nothing wrong with them. Notice what it says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Because it doesn't matter whether they believe they are living in the light or not. If they live in darkness, they will have to pay for it. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 we read, woe! Now every time you read the word woe, you should become alert here. Woe to those who call evil good, who call good evil. Oh, it's good to keep Halloween, even though it's evil. Oh, it's bad to keep the Sabbath, or it's bad to keep the holy days, even though that is good. Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Is God telling us what the result will be? Why is he saying woe to those? Well, if you keep reading on, verse 24, therefore, as a fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel, and therefore the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. You don't want to be in that category, do you? To become fire, or rather become those stubble which the fire devours. But that's what God is saying is going to happen if you don't come out of that darkness we are living in. Now, why this great deception? Well, simply because Satan has deceived the whole world. And Satan pretends to be an angel of light. We know the scripture, don't we? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, he may not be that successful when it comes to Halloween. There, they may say, oh, it's just harmless fun. But what about Christmas? Oh, it's beautiful, all these beautiful lights, right? I mean, so what's wrong with that? So that's what Satan is trying to tell the people. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14, notice what God says about it. It says, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Or as the NIV has, he masquerades himself as an angel of light. Or as the RSV says, he disguises himself as an angel of light. And what does he do? He uses his servants, his disciples, his ministers, the false ministers, those who come and tell you Christ came to do away with the law. You don't have to keep the law anymore. Liars, the Bible calls them. If anybody comes to you and says, oh, you don't have to keep the commandments, John says, he is a liar. And the truth isn't in him. But Satan is using those. And so these ministers pretend to be ministers of light. But they are ministers of darkness, of death, of sin, of unrighteousness. The very next verse tells us. Therefore, it is not a great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, pretend to be, disguise themselves as, masquerade as, ministers of righteousness. God says, whose end will be according to their works. Again, woe unto those who fall into that category. Satan is all behind it. People are too stupid, too foolish to understand it, to accept it. Now some, however, do hear. Some will hear the gospel of light, which must be proclaimed today by God's church, and they recognize it to be true. They recognize who they really are. And they may respond. They may respond by turning away from the darkness, turning towards the light. In Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 17, this is what Jesus said to Paul. And Paul is reiterating that when he talked to Agrippa. He says, that's what Christ said to me in verse 17. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Paul was sent to open the eyes of those people, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. In other words, Paul was doing his job. The decision was still theirs, as again we heard in the sermonette today. You cannot make anyone to make the right decision. You can tell them. You can tell them the consequences. You can tell them what's going to happen if you keep living the way you're living. But they have to make the decision. Verse 22, in the same chapter. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be first, or the first, to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. That's what's being proclaimed today. Light. Jesus came to bring light to the world. We are here today to proclaim that light to the world. We are today representing Christ, if you please, the true light, to preach to mankind the light of salvation. Think about that. That's why you are here, to participate in this great work of preaching light to this world. Acts chapter 13 and verse 47. Why would anybody, because of some imagine or real disappointments, walk away from that? Acts 13 and verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you, notice, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation. If you have a job to do, helping people to come to salvation, to the ends of the earth. Did you know that we are called saviors in the Old Testament? Think about that. What a tremendous responsibility that is. Don't take that lightly. And we have to do this today with zeal, with dedication, because Christ warns us of the future. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, this he said about himself then. This is what he is saying to us today, because Christ is still doing his work in us. He says in John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. The night is coming when people will walk to and fro to look for light and won't find it anymore, because their mind will be so darkened that they won't recognize the light anymore when they see it. So today is a day where we have to do with zeal and with enthusiasm what God has told us to do. But also, even though the gospel is being preached today, and that is a sad part, most of those who hear it will only turn to the light, if at all, for a short while. I said earlier how many people at one time listened to the truth and walked away again. That was true at the time of Christ. That is true today. Notice John chapter 5 and verse 33. It had better not be true for us. John 5 and verse 33. He's talking about John the Baptist. He's saying, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. But now notice verse 35. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time, just for a time, to rejoice in his light. But then they walked away. Many in the church of God have walked away in the past, because some ministers inspired, perhaps even, and I say perhaps twice because I don't know, but perhaps even possessed by Satan, have started to preach wrong teachings, completely wrong teachings. And the people followed them. People followed them. Now, how in the world that is possible, I don't know. But it happened. And let's not assume it can never happen again. You see, Satan is darkness. There's no light in him. But God is light, and there is no darkness in him. And we read that very clearly in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You see, you cannot combine the two. Either there is light or there is darkness. See, Satan is completely darkness. God is completely light. Question is, where are we? Because at one time we all were darkness, completely, totally, utter darkness. I don't care who you are. You and I, before we were brought into the truth, were completely, totally, utter darkness in the eyes of God. No light in us whatsoever. We had completely darkened understanding. But this shouldn't be true any longer. We have stepped out of the darkness into the light. We're here today to celebrate the fact. We've done it during the Feast of Tabernacles, but it shouldn't have stopped there. We should continue doing this. We should be celebrating that coming light for all of mankind. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Notice what it says. For you were once darkness. Not there was a little bit darkness in you. You were completely, totally, fully darkness. All of you, including me. We were all darkness. You were once darkness. But notice, now you are light in the Lord. That's how it should be. Completely, totally light. And he says, walk as the children of light. Verse 14. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You see, the moment we are arising from the spiritually dead, the moment we are becoming awake, those who are asleep, Christ will give us light, and the more we walk in the light, the more we will have the light. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. We just read that we should walk in the light. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardening of their hearts. See, it's a process. It's either a process towards darkness or it's a process towards light. If you keep walking as the Gentiles walk, that's what's going to happen. Your understanding will become more and more darkened. You will harden your heart. Notice verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness, with greediness. But you have not so learned Jesus Christ. I want to take a moment here. What does it mean, being past feeling? Well, notice 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. That is what happens if your mind becomes darkened. It says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. In other words, our own conscience is seared. We don't have any more appreciation for what's right. Past feeling. Notice also Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 20 is an example of what happens to somebody who has seared her own conscience and who has past feelings. Proverbs 30 and verse 20. And you cannot reach that person anymore as long as that person is in such a category, in such a frame of mind. It says, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats, she wipes her mouth, and says, I have done no wickedness. Nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Nothing wrong with committing adultery. Nothing wrong with walking away from a marriage. Past feeling. Having seared her conscience with a hot iron. That's what can happen if we are walking and keep walking the wrong way. You see, God has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has placed us under the rule and power of Christ, the true light. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1 and verse 13. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. See, like Paul was told, that's what he should be doing. And has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, has put us under the rule of the kingdom of God. Not that we're actually in the kingdom, because then we would be born again immortal beings, but we're already under the rule. God already rules over us. That's the idea. Satan doesn't rule over us anymore. That's how it should be. And as we are children of light, we are no longer children, sons and daughters of darkness. That should be obvious. But notice in 1 Thessalonians, it's being emphasized again in verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. And now we are talking about something which was addressed earlier today. It says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, the day of Christ's return, should overtake you as a thief. You know, Christ is warning the church in the book of Revelation, if you don't watch, I will come upon you as a thief in the night. So this is not just talking about the world, this is talking about you and me as well. It's possible that we are so unaware of what's happening even in the world or what our own condition is concerned, that Christ may come upon us like a thief in the night. Paul says that shouldn't be the case. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, shouldn't be, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. That shouldn't be happening to us. Verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We can't. I mean, if we are sons of the day, we couldn't have any communion with darkness any longer. That means we are no longer spiritually asleep. We are no longer spiritually drunk. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Interesting, isn't it? And those who get drunk are drunk at night. That is true in many cases physically, but he is also talking here in spiritual terms. Don't get drunk, because then you become again a son or a daughter of darkness, of the power of Satan. And he's warning us that we shouldn't be that way. As God's chosen generation, as his holy people, we are to glorify God, because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We read this time and again, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, another passage I quickly want to turn to, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are, you and I, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim, we heard this before, Paul was supposed to proclaim it, we are supposed to proclaim it today, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do we proclaim that in our lives? Because you see, many times we don't. Every time we gossip about somebody, every time we give wrong information about somebody, thereby destroying the reputation of a person. Every time we lie about somebody, every time we get drunk, symbolically or even physically, every time we smoke, every time we do all the wrong things, get involved in, we have just read it, adultery, whatever it may be, every time we participate in Satan's holidays, we are no longer in the light. But Christ says there must not be any darkness in us at all. Notice this in Luke chapter 11 and verse 34. Luke 11 and verse 34. And I grant you this. This is a very difficult scripture, the way it's worded. It says here in Luke chapter 11, verse 34, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now, if that's not complicated enough, Notice what he adds in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 23. Matthew 6 and verse 23. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, well, how can that be? How great is that darkness? Well, it has a lot to do with a wrong self-evaluation. You think you have light in you, but you're not. The Nelson Study Bible gives a pretty good explanation here. It says, you are what you see. That is why David said, and then they quote Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. A person who concentrates on what is good, and that means God's teaching, is healthy. A person who focuses on what is bad, and that is false teaching of this world, is full of darkness. In other words, rather concentrating on the bad, as we also heard today, let's concentrate on the good. The more you concentrate on the bad, you yourself will become bad. The more you concentrate on the good, you yourself will become better and better. But coming out of darkness is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. As the world is descending into more and more darkness, so we are supposed to enter into more and more light. And the distance will be vast. It will be ever increasing. The world, more and more dark, we, more and more light. So there is no communion. None whatsoever. As we have been rescued from the darkness of this world, that darkness must completely disappear. And the light must shine through us more and more brightly. And this is what Proverbs chapter 4 brings out. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The path of the just is like the shining sun, or literally, the shining light, that shines ever brighter unto that perfect day. That's what should be the description for you and me. Now comes the other side of the coin. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. The point is they will stumble. The point is they may kid themselves as long as they want. The time will come when they will stumble, when they will fall. And then they won't even realize what happened. Could be a terrible accident. Could be all kinds of terrible occurrences. But it will happen. God says, woe unto you if you live that way of life and don't repent and don't change. And we cannot say that we are in the light if we walk in darkness. You see, the world does that. We mustn't do that. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother, he is in darkness until now. And he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Notice, if you hate your brother, you will stumble. If you love your brother, you abide in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in you. Now, that includes the willingness to forgive someone who has done something wrong when the person repents. It includes the willingness to let grudges go, to no longer condemn or hate someone who might have done something wrong to us, if the person, of course, changes and repents. But verse 11. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, again, and doesn't know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. But who is the one who actually blinds us? Notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The darkness has blinded our eyes because it is Satan who is blinding us. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Let me read. Whose minds the God of this world has blinded. And that's why our minds have become blinded and darkened. But God is calling us out of it. But we have to be willing to come out of it and not go back into it. It says here in verse 4, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. They don't want to believe. Willfully ignorant. Then they can't expect to see the light, to have any understanding whatsoever. Can't expect that. But you see, for us, that darkness should be passing away. We shouldn't be victims of Satan any longer. Satan shouldn't rule over us any longer. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Is that true for us? You see, when God looks at this world, what does he see? Well, he sees complete utter darkness. But does he see, here's a light shining, there's one shining, there's one shining? Does he see some lights shining in this darkness? You see, you and I are supposed to be those lights. It says that we are the light of the world. We all know that scripture in Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn to that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 to 16. Again, I ask the question. When God looks at the darkness of this world, does he see you as a bright shining light in the middle of darkness? And you may be the only one in the neighborhood of, I don't know how many people. You may be the only one in your school. You may be the only one in your university, wherever you may be, if you are. Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I mean, you are that light God sees in the world, but you're also supposed to be the light to the world. And it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. In other words, you are afraid to stand up for what's right because you don't want to be ridiculed. Well, you are this light, but you put it away so you don't shine. He says, but you put it on a lampstand and it gives light to all who are in the house. Well, many times a house refers to the church. That's one thing. You're supposed to be a light to other church members. But then, of course, in a broader application, you are supposed to be a light to everyone you come in contact with. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Don't hide it. Let it shine so that they may see your good works, and then they don't glorify you. That's not the point. They glorify your Father in heaven because they realize it's ultimately God who is giving you that power, that strength to be that light. In Philippians chapter 2, the same thought is expressed. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. That's a tough one. I know it's a tough one. That's why I'm saying it's a process. You come out of darkness. Because it says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. All things without murmuring and disputing, or the margin has it without grumbling and arguing. Oh, many people want to argue. No, I don't see it that way. I see it differently. How come the church doesn't agree with me? Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless or innocent, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Picture that. Do you understand that you are a light amidst a crooked and perverse generation? Have you ever looked at this way? Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, they make some mistakes, but it's not that bad. If they live in a way which is completely opposite to what God says, God says, no, it's a perverse and crooked generation, and you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be that light, shining to them so that they may wake up. If they don't wake up, it's not your fault any longer. But if you hide your light, if you don't stand up for what's right, then you may have a problem, God is saying. You see, God gives us the light of his knowledge. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." Remember when God recreated the surface of the earth, the first thing he said, "Let there be light." Because there was darkness. And there was light. Now, scientists have no clue as to what happened in the past. "It is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." See, God had to reveal that to us. You wouldn't have known anything about God, the true God. Nothing. Because remember, you were totally out of darkness. God has to give us his light. And he did. But then he expects of us to do something with it. And we must heed that light. We cannot turn our back on it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. "We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place." We are all living in this dark world, but God's word is supposed to give us light and understanding, and we're supposed to heed it. And it says, "Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Now, what's that mean? Jesus Christ is identifying himself as the morning star. And so here we are being told that Jesus Christ must be rising in our hearts. We find an interesting parallel passage in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Because how is Christ rising in our hearts? Paul says, "My little children," Galatians 4, verse 19, "for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." Christ is becoming more and more involved in your life. You become more and more like he. You let him being formed in you in that sense, a morning star rising in your heart. An identification is being described here. But Christ is light, no darkness in him. So therefore, there must be no darkness in us. And so to the extent that we follow the light, Jesus Christ, to that extent, and to that extent only, we will no longer walk in darkness. That means if we don't obey him, we will be in darkness. If we think we can disobey his commands, we will be in darkness. We don't follow him. John 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, John 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world." Now, didn't he also say that you and I are the light of the world? Of course. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." But only to that extent. And also in chapter 12, and in verse 35 and 36, then Jesus said to them, John 12, verse 35, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. How many times have we read that now? They don't even know what they're doing. While you have the light, verse 36, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. We got to believe. We got to follow him. We got to come to the point that we never ever want to walk away from him. Because the minute we do, we are no longer sons and children and daughters of light. And so, yes, of course, notice what it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The fact that we are children of light doesn't mean that we are incapable of sinning. Of course not. You and I will still sin from time to time. But as long as we are in the light, having this close fellowship with Christ, he is going to cleanse us from all sin. If we realize our sin, if we repent of our sin, if we confess it, if we accept the sacrifice of Christ, if we walk away from sin, staying within the light, we are going to be cleansed. God says that's what he's going to do. But you cannot fool him, kid him, mock him, and do what's wrong and think, oh, well, it's fine. Might as well do it. God's going to forgive me. There may come a time when he's not going to forgive you anymore, because there may come a time where you don't want to repent anymore. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 to 14. Romans 13 and verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be formed in you. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That's our responsibility, our task. Now, we may fail from time to time, but we will repent and obtain forgiveness and keep going the right way. That's a thought. That's a hope. That's what we need to do. And when we do that, then we are going to be able to continue that walk of life. But we cannot have fellowship with darkness. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? The Living Bible says, how can light live with darkness? It's impossible. Either we are light or we are darkness. Either we follow God who is light, or we follow Satan, the power of darkness. We have to make a choice. We better make the right choice. As a last scripture, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, reject them, take them as what they are, and don't have any communion with them. So let us show those whom we come in contact with what it means to step out of darkness into the light, to be the light of this dark world, to picture a time for all of mankind when the true light shines for and upon everyone. Thank you. When no one dares, then you must risk it. When all are silent, say it loud. When no one thinks, be bold to think it. What no one starts, that carry out. Where no one says it, you must say it. When all keep silence, then tell them all. When all are doubtful, have conviction. When all walk wrongly, stand up tall. Where all are praising, show hesitation. Where all are scoffing, do the right. Where all are stingy, give donation. Where there is darkness, show the light. Where all are praising, show hesitation. Where all are scoffing, do the right. Where all are stingy, give donation. Where there is darkness, show the light.